Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
Nehemiah is a story about a man who really was compelled to do something that God had laid upon his heart. And it's amazing how God can enter our lives and move us to bring glory to Jesus and to fill his plans and purposes and promises in our lives. That's an amazing story. So the title of our series is called A Rebuilt Life. Just like Pastor Reg's message Sunday, A Rebuilt Life, the title of the whole series through Nehemiah is A Rebuilt Life. And do you like that title? I like it too. And most of us, especially men, maybe some of you girls, like rebuilding things. You know, maybe at some point you rebuilt a bicycle or you rebuilt a bike for you Harley guys out there, or maybe you rebuilt a car. How many of you guys have rebuilt a car before? All right, a few of you. I know that me and my dad and my brother rebuilt a 1966 Ford Ranchero, had a 289 bored out, had a hot cam, and it had headers, and it had a Holley carburetor, and it had, you know, it had, was it up there? Well, there it is right there. That's the car. Not bad for a 66. But we rebuilt that thing. We bought it for $300. It was looked like a piece of junk, and it was a lot better when we were done, but it was a fun car. But we rebuilt that thing. And, you know, you think about all the advertisements that the car industry has got into using the word built. You guys help me out here. Who was it that said, built blank tough? Built Ford tough. Okay, how about inexpensive and built to stay that way? That's what I thought. I never heard that one either. It was Subaru, of all things. All right, how about better built, better backed? Nobody said Mitsubishi today. Okay, how about building a better way to see the USA? You guys don't watch the commercials, do you? It was Chevrolet, you're right. And then the last one, the best built car in the world, Toyota. Hey, it was their ad, wasn't mine. But built or rebuilt, it's fun, it's exciting, but you know what it takes? Time. Time. Time and hard work to rebuild something. And God is in the building business and the rebuilding business. And the book of Nehemiah is a fantastic picture of God doing this, not only through a man, but in a man, in his life and through his life, and also of God using him to help rebuild a nation. Man, do we need this? We need this so bad. You know, Pastor Greg started out his message with this statement on Sunday. He said, "Look at America today. We have never been more divided along racial lines, political lines, ideological lines. We see the breakdown and redefinition of the family. We see violence in our streets. We see threats to our national and personal security. And there are our lives and the life of someone we know. They have made so many bad decisions. It's like one of those houses after a hurricane has hit. What do? You rebuild one house at a time. The same is true for us. Whatever mess you find yourself in, it can be resolved. Whatever shape your spiritual house is in, it can be rebuilt." And then you add to that what happened in Las Vegas, that chaos that happened there. And we see this symptom in our society of even evil, this evil presence. And yeah, we can respond to evil by, and they did a great job in Las Vegas when you hear about the first responders, and we need to continue to pray for what's going on there. But how about we get there before these things happen? How about we as a church begin to make an impact in our nation and we catch this evil before it happens? How does that happen? Only God can do that, right? Only God can do that. He does that when he changes a heart. And this is really what this story of Nehemiah is all about. It's about a man whose heart was broken for the things that break the heart of God. And Nehemiah was just living life, doing his thing. You might say he was minding his own business. Nehemiah was brought into this reality that his life was to be much more than palaces, and privilege and parties. I mean, he had it pretty good. But this book is about a man who committed his life to the living God, who cared about God's glory and cared about others. It's about a man who committed his life to a living God, he cared about God's glory, and he cared about others. And this is what this story is all about. And we're going to go ahead and read just the first couple of verses. And the reason this is such a good book for us is because we should have this same heart, right? We should be committed to God. We should be concerned about his glory, not only in our lives, but all around us. And we should also have compassion for others. And in God's strength, do something about it. So let's read Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. And it says, Hanani, one of my brethren, came with me from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity, and concerning Jerusalem. And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. And so it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept. And I mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. And if you were here Sunday, you heard a summary of this, but Nehemiah was the cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, the king of the Medo-Persian Empire. He was the assistant to the king, basically in modern-day Iran. And the Medo-Persian Empire had defeated Babylon. But Babylon had gone in and conquered Jerusalem. You might remember they took Daniel captive, took Daniel into Babylon. And this was much later. The Babylonians had been defeated by the Medo-Persian Empire. And there was still a remnant left in Jerusalem. And during the time of the Medo-Persian Empire, some of the Jews had gone back, had been allowed to go back and rebuild the temple in Jerusalem, and that was led by Ezra. And Ezra went and took a party with him, and they began and they rebuilt the temple of Israel, but they never rebuilt the walls. So when this news came to Nehemiah that the walls were torn down, his heart broke for Jerusalem. His heart broke for the people that were in Jerusalem, and his heart also broke for the glory of God. Remember, Jerusalem is a very important city, not only today, but has always been for God. God has chosen Jerusalem as his dwelling place. In fact, it tells us in Psalms 48 that great is the Lord, the most worthy of praise in the city of our God, his holy mountain. It is beautiful in its loftiness, the joy of the whole earth. Mount Zion, the city of the great king. God has a special place in his heart for Jerusalem. In fact, in Psalms 132:14, it says, this is my resting place forever and ever. Here I will sit enthroned, for I have desired it. That's pretty important, isn't it? And we know that there's going to be a new Jerusalem someday. But when Nehemiah got word of how Jerusalem was desecrated, and that not only was God's glory being diminished and for his countrymen that were suffering, his heart broke. You know, it was Bob Pierce who started Samaritan's Purse, the organization, the ministry that we partner with that's doing all this great work around the world and around even in our country, who said this. He said, let my heart be broken with the things that break the heart of God. Can you say that? Can I say that? Let my heart be broke with the things that break the heart of God. And when Nehemiah heard this, he began to pray. And then he began to plan. And he goes to this unbelieving Gentile king. And amazingly enough, God opens the door for him to share with the king about what's going on in Jerusalem and even open the heart of the king to give him the resources he needs to go and rebuild these walls in Jerusalem. In Nehemiah 2:8, it tells us that the king granted to me according to the good hand of my God upon him. I love this because it just shows us that God's calling is God's enabling. You know, when God lays something on our hearts, when God shows us a need, He's going to enable us to do this, to do the need, to fulfill the need. And whenever God calls us to do something, provides the resources. And this can be in our parenting. Parents need patience, right? God will give you that. In your marriage, in your work, in your ministry, that God's calling is God's enabling. God's going to give you the resources you need to do the things that He's called you to do, whether it's something in your own personal character, in your own growth, or if it's an actual ministry outside, ministering to people. But Nehemiah had this heart to work for God, and he was praying for the work. But then as we see, as we're going to be looking in our studies, he's going to go and actually do the work. He's going to take a step of faith, and we're going to learn a lot about this. But it amazes me that he would even go and attempt this task. Because for one thing, he was like a maitre d'. You know, he wasn't a contractor. How many of you guys are contractors in here? How many of you guys have built walls before? It's not an easy task, is it? And if you've ever been to Jerusalem and seen the walls there, they're not little bricks, like little, you know, 4x8 bricks. They're huge. It's a huge task. And I actually used to build walls myself. In fact, I was in the business of building walls like the ones that are surrounding us. They're called tilt-up walls, and they're made of concrete. And the first time I had the opportunity to build one of these walls, well, I was kind of afraid because they lift them up with these big cranes at these pick points, and you think they're going to, like, will that little crane hold that big wall? And it's a little fearful. And one of the guys had told me that one guy was on one of the lists for the walls. One of the guys, the pick point actually broke loose, and one of the guys started running, and his boss grabbed him and said, "Get back there and work your place." And they went back there and they set the wall and got it done. But think about this. He wasn't a contractor. He wasn't a mason. Yet he went to do this work because he had a heart to do the work of God. And sometimes God will call us to do things. He'll lay something on our hearts that we don't think we have the ability to do. We think it's out of our realm. We think we don't have the capacity to do it, to accomplish it. But God has laid it on our hearts, and He promises to enable us to do that. And that's what Nehemiah was counting on. And he stepped out, and he did the work. When Nehemiah heard the report that the walls needed repair, it tells us that he began to weep. He began to pray. He showed this intense concern. And it tells us that he prayed for about 4 months before he started the work. And then when he started the work, it took 52 days to build the walls. 52 days. That's about what? That's almost 2 months, month and a half. So he prayed longer than he actually worked. I think there's a great lesson there, isn't there? Isn't there a great lesson that, man, we just need to be people of prayer, praying for the things that God has even laid on our hearts before we step out and do something stupid. Pray about it, and then watch God work. We'll never rebuild the walls, and even in our own lives or in someone else, unless we first began to have a burden for it, unless we begin to pray, unless we begin to plan, but we also have to go to work. And I think this year, as we go through the book of Nehemiah, God is going to lay things on our hearts. As we get into our groups and we begin to discuss God's word, as we're at home doing the study, God's going to speak to each and every one of us. He's going to speak to our hearts. He speaks to us through His word because it's living and it's active and it's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it's able to divide between the joints and the marrow. And it's a discerner between the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's what the Bible says. And as we're doing that, God is going to speak into our lives. And then we need to take steps of faith. Personal steps, even steps collectively. One of the greatest lessons in the Bible that we see in Nehemiah is that Nehemiah put the people together to work. He put them family by family by the walls as they built these walls up. And in our own church, I love to see this. I love to see families and people coming together and doing the work of God. And God's going to do that in our church, in our lives too. And we can look forward to this. So as you're going through this year, as you're going through this book of Nehemiah, don't just read it as a history lesson. Read it as a personal lesson, something that God is speaking into your heart. And I believe God is going to do a great work as he builds the walls, not only in our personal lives, but in our church and our community. And God has great things in store for us as we get into God's word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can come to this place and be in this church. Walls around us, Lord, protected. This is your house too. And we thank you that we can come here and learn of you and have our group times and commit that to you. And we pray that each of us would grow in our understanding of your plans and purposes in our lives. We would grow in our faith as we step out in faith, clinging to your promises. We pray that the work that you have for each and every one of us individually and collectively would be accomplished this year. And I pray for anyone here tonight who is not really sure. They maybe come in, I don't know if I'm going to even complete this Bible study. I just wanted to check it out, see what this is all about. Lord, we just pray that you would be the one, even like you spoke to Nehemiah's heart, that you would put the burden on every one of our hearts to be in your word, to be in community, to be in fellowship, and to be in prayer. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.